Hi, everyone.
Hi, guys, gals, pals, and ghouls.
Welcome to Wicked, Weird, and Grim, your number one podcast for a trip through the history of the odd, haunting, and mystifying. I'm Ara.
And I'm Caroline. Together, we're the Grimm sisters.
So our story today is, I have written in the script that it's, quote, particularly scary, but it's actually, like, pee my pants scary to me.
Ara wrote the script last year, and she's been too scared to record it until now.
And the only reason I'm doing it now is because there's a bunch of people living in my house, and my aunt is staying in my room with me. So if anything happens, I will not be alone. So I unashamedly admit I am scared.
I have not read this script yet, because I never read them before. And so I'm like, know nothing about this.
It's intense. It's like
I'm ready to get scared.
The Conjuring movie.
I'm not going to be scared.
Okay. Well, the part that's scary to me is the fact that, like, when people, if people talk about her or see her or that kind of thing, she comes.
It's one of those.
Yeah. But there's a reason I'm okay with doing it now. We'll get into it.
Okay. So our story today starts out beautifully. Picture a nature trail in the middle of the Catskills Mountains in southeast New York. Very beautiful area. I've been there. The trees are covered in a thin layer of ice and frost, glinting in the dappled sunlight. And the ground crunches underfoot with coating of fresh snow. The air is cold with fresh
ASMR.
The air is cold with fresh puffs of breath showing in the mid-morning light. Two hikers make their way through the winter landscape, peering into the caves and bounding around the rock structures in the area.
Pretty far from the trail, the two hikers happen upon a particularly hidden cave, and peering inside, see the remains of a fire and a small object perched on the rock. On a rock. Getting closer, the hikers see that the object is actually a small wooden figurine of a woman. It looks old, yet must have been placed in the cave relatively recently, as it shows little signs of weather damage. Even more disturbing, though, is the three rusted nails hammered into each eye of the statue, and the noose looped around and trailing off the statue's neck.
One of the hikers, Danny, is immediately freaked out, telling the other to leave it alone and urging them to go, which, yeah. He recalls the tales of devil worshippers that come out of the remote areas, they come out to the remote areas of the Catskills to sacrifice animals and do their spells, and wants nothing to do with the small wooden figure.
The other hiker, however, and we wouldn't have a story if they weren't enough to do this, they didn't feel the same. And the other hiker decides to take the figurine home with him, despite Danny's protests.
Okay, I have to pause here to say, do you remember when we were in the mountains and you had that little cross and it fell out of your pocket? And Michelle was about to, like, leap out of the house. She was like, what is that?
That was so funny. Yeah, I keep a hand-carved cross in my pillowcase from, like, superstitious Slavic beliefs. And it fell out of my pillowcase while we were at this kind of, like, older remote house.
Yeah, the house wasn't really creepy, but the area was very desolate. It was very scary drive up a mountain. It was the sort of place that you
would get murdered at, probably,
and, like, especially if you're not a white person, and some of the people in our group are not white, so you know,
it was scary.
It was, you know, it was just, it was an interesting area. Fun house, though. Good house.
That's a good memory too.
The cross fell out of her pillowcase, and one of our friends was like, she just, like, happened to find it, and she just goes, what is that? She's, like, absolutely traumatized.
She was terrified to find a cross on the floor in, like, a super southern mountain home.
Yeah.
And I was, like, more terrified than if she found, like, a Ouija board or something. Right? It was really funny.
Okay. A couple days later, the friend calls and tells Danny that he thinks the statue is haunted because it keeps moving from its spot, and he keeps smelling weird stuff. He says he can't sleep at night because of banging and knocking on his door. In general, he's just super weirded out. He thinks he has a ghost in his home because of the statue.
This is really shocking to Danny because his friend is and has always been a super staunch atheist as long as he's known him. And so Danny at first thinks his friend is messing with him because Danny loves watching, you know, paranormal shows and really diving deep into, you know, ghost hunters, that kind of thing. And his friend always made fun of him for it. But this friend tells Danny a story over the phone that eventually has Danny believing him.
His friend says that the activity at his house simply started out on the Sunday night he brought the statue home, and it started as knocks and banging. But by that Wednesday, he started waking up in the middle of the night feeling like someone was watching him. This kept happening throughout the week, and every time he'd wake up, he would smell a really strong scent like pond water. As his friend doesn't believe in the paranormal, he just ignored it until a few days later when the statue moved from his desk into the living room. He says that every night since Thursday, it's moved into a different room than where he left it. He thought it was his dog moving it around because it smelled weird and his dog... Hold on. He thought it was his dog moving it around at first, but then because it smelled weird, the statue smelled weird, his dog actually wouldn't go anywhere near it, and she actually peed in the house three nights in a row, which she had never done before.
So the dog wouldn't go anywhere near it, not because it smelled weird, but he thought the dog had been moving the statue because it smelled bad. And he thought it was like dog spit on the statue or something.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, let me re-say that then.
Okay.
Let me fix it. Okay. So at first he thought it was his dog moving it around because it smelled really weird, right? So he thinks his dog is just like, this smells weird. Get it away, you know? But his dog wouldn't actually go anywhere near it. And she actually peed in the house three nights in a row, which she had never done before.
So she was really, really scared.
She was freaked out. She was pitiful. Poor girl.
Always listen to your pets, guys.
Yeah.
They know.
They're smart. Except cats. Cats definitely, they definitely play with ghosts in houses that are not haunted.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
For sure.
Like, but also listen to your cats.
Yeah. Either way, they'll know.
Yeah.
But they'll also know if it's good or bad.
Yeah.
Like,
but they also might give you a warning that it's a ghost when it's not a ghost.
Yeah.
It's just
a very tiny bug that you can't see.
You can't see. Or like like hair or a broom bristle or a pine needle. Or
So be more aware if it's a cat.
Yeah.
cats will trick you.
They will.
So this friend goes on to tell Danny that the night before, someone had knocked on his door at exactly 3 a.m., but when he went to open it, there was no one there. His motion lights weren't on and there weren't any cars in his driveway. He said that he opened up the door to look outside and he knew immediately he had made a big mistake.
Oh, no.
As he just had this horrible feeling he shouldn't have opened his door. So he let something in.
Oh. At that point, Danny didn't have any reason not to believe him because it had gone like way beyond a joke at this point, and his friend really did sound like super afraid over the phone. And he kept telling Danny that he was going to burn the statue because he knew that something followed him home.
And quick note here for our listeners, I'm sure you've heard us say this before, but please never, ever, ever burn a cursed or bound object unless you explicitly know what you're doing. I know some of you aren't believers, but for those of you who are, if you burn a cursed or a bound object, you can run the risk of releasing an entity that's inside of it or just pissing it off, and it'll make the haunting way worse. So I would always just consult professionals when dealing with items like that, and don't just burn things at home unless you're super experienced.
Also, like, sometimes you can sell stuff like that to people that are like...
Yeah, that's what happens here.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, 'cause
like, sometimes you can... I know, like, the guy with the Dybbuk box, those things, a couple of them have been found, supposedly, and they almost always end up getting sold to some, like, haunted collector person. Mm-hmm. Or
you can get money for it, all of these things.
And, plus, the Ghost Adventures guy, Zach Bagans, he has, like, a haunted museum where he buys stuff like this. So,
and it's always a good idea just to try to rehome.
Just, you know.
Please don't sell it on Facebook Marketplace without putting that it's haunted, though.
That would be so mean.
People would do that.
Yeah.
I know they would.
And I can just see myself like buying some haunted item and just being like, what the heck is happening? I don't even believe in this stuff. What the heck?
You're like, oh no, it's Facebook Marketplace at it again.
Like, I also can see myself being the sort of person who is like, I don't believe in ghosts. I want to buy a haunted object because what if it is haunted? That would be cool. And then being like, dang it, I got a demon.
Yeah.
It was not a ghost. It was a demon.
Caroline's like, I just wanted a ghost and I got a demon in the exchange. Dang it.
I just wanted like an old Victorian lady.
Yeah.
You know? I wanted the plot of the TV show Ghosts, which is my favorite show. And that is not what I got. I got a demon.
What a nice friendly ghost. I know. Who would like help me around the house.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Is that me?
Yes.
Okay. A few days after Danny got that phone call, his friend shows up at his house at like 11:30 in the morning, scared out of his mind. So this guy's freaking out. Danny said he had never seen him like that before. And his friend is begging him to be able to stay at his house because there is just something in his house because of that statue. So he's just like running away from his own home, basically.
Yeah. So his friend tells Danny that he stayed up most of the night and then decided to go to the movies to just take his mind off of it. But when he got home, he said he felt like everything was fine, and so he finally decided to go to bed. And this is where it gets super crazy. His friend says that when he woke up, which wasn't until like 10 a.m., it was because his dog was going insane. His dog was barking like crazy.
Poor baby. Scared pets make me so sad.
You know.
He said the pond water smell was stronger than ever, and when he went out into his hallway, he saw these gross, like, muddy footprints everywhere. Not like shoe prints, but barefoot, which if I saw that, I would be like,
yeah, bye. I would have already been gone.
Yeah, same.
In the time it took you to figure out what you were going to say, I would have been gone.
Yeah, I would have been like, no.
Zoom.
No. All of his doors and windows were locked because, you know, after the knocking on his door, he freaked out and made sure everything was locked up. So there was no way that somebody could have gotten inside.
Which is so creepy because it means it's already in there with you.
Ugh.
Okay. Ugh.
But also, like, I am always afraid of somebody, like, breaking into my house. And so I feel like my first thought as somebody who's not a believer in, like, a lot of, like, paranormal stuff, my first thought would be, like, oh, my gosh, there's a muddy serial killer in my house.
Yeah.
And well, he's not wearing any shoes.
My fear isn't even that someone would break in. I mean, I'm scared someone would break in. But I'm also, like, you hear those stories of people living in people's walls for, like, that scares me.
Yes, we need to cover some of those because
it's so scary. My dad always would scare me when he went up in our attic because he would be like, oh, there's a box of Bojangles up here, or there's an old Mountain Dew bottle. And I'm like, I hate you.
No. At some point, we need to cover the story of Danny LaPlante. Do you know about that? Okay, we'll have to cover it. I'll tell you about it when we're done recording.
Anyway, so his dog was freaking out. There were these muddy footprints all over the floor that were barefoot. And sitting in the living room was the statue, which had moved again. And he says that when he started to go near it, he heard someone breathing, quote, like his grandpa with a tracheotomy, end quote.
So basically like Darth Vader breathing.
Yeah.
He left as quickly as possible, and he and his dog slept in Danny's guest room that night. And Danny said he had never seen his friend so afraid to the point that he was, like, crying.
Yeah.
Which I feel so bad for this dude. Like, oh my goodness.
I don't feel bad for him because I'm like, you're stupid and you took it home with you.
I mean, that's true. But, like, also, I don't know.
He learned his lesson.
He definitely did.
He's never going to pick up another thing in his life.
No, ever. Never.
He's going to go to the grocery store and be like, I can't pick this up. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I don't have hands.
So basically Danny's friend's experiences inspired Danny to post all of this onto a Reddit forum asking for advice. And Danny was actually contacted by someone who knew the husband and wife co-curators of the Traveling Museum of the Paranormal and Occult, Greg and Dana Newkirk. And Danny ended up writing to Greg, who actually advised Danny on what to do.
And Greg said, quote, it didn't take me long to suggest that he not only return the statue to the place that he'd found it, but apologize to whoever or whatever they'd stolen from. I asked him a few questions about the location they discovered the figure and warned him against burning, throwing away, or otherwise destroying the object, which could have potentially made things even worse for the two. I ended my correspondence by telling Danny that if he was truly frightened, we could handle, store, and study the object safely. 2 days later, I received another email, end quote.
And this new email read, quote, thanks for the advice. Today we went back to my friend's house to get the statue and return it. When we got there, I saw the muddy footprints he was talking about, and the whole place smelled like a dog that had just rolled around in the dirt. His dog wouldn't come in the house. He went to show me where the statue was when he had left last night. He went to show me where the statue was when his friend had left last night, but it was gone. When they found it, it was in his hallway, and there was a huge crack.
What did I say I wanted to happen?
The clock to go off.
Yes!
It only scared me slightly.
It reminds me of the Anastasia song. The Once Upon a December.
Oh, yeah.
But it's actually What Child Was This?
No, it's Greensleeves.
Well.
If you're not religious. Yeah. The pagan version.
Yeah. Do you know Henry VIII wrote this?
Do you know why?
I don't.
It's so long. Yeah. To green sleeve a woman or to green gown a woman is, it means that like you tumbled in the grass with them, which means you took their virginity from them. Makes sense.
That does sound like Henry VIII, I must say.
He's like, this is my this is my single about deflowering this woman.
Yeah.
Anyways, when they found the statue, it was in his friend's hallway, and there was a huge crack in the wall, like it had been thrown there. His friend swears that he never touched the thing and had left it in his living room. Oh yeah, this is the rest of the email.
Okay, so this is what they say to Greg.
Mm-hmm.
So they tell Greg, we did what you said and explained that, wait. Okay, we did what you said and explained that we were sorry about taking it and that we wanted to give it back to the cave and asked it what we should do. I don't know if it was the feeling you were talking about, but we both just felt like we should never, ever go back to that cave again. He said he felt like we needed to send it to you. When we were standing in the hallway talking to this thing, his dog started barking like crazy outside. And when we went to see what was going on, we both thought we saw an old woman. Blah, 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 blah.
Scared Caroline.
No, Aura.
This is why I had you read this sentence. Aww. This is why you're doing two paragraphs in a row. I didn't want to read it.
Okay. Let's see. Where was I? We both thought we saw an old woman standing in the dark corner of his living room. She was totally naked, really old, and dripping water, and her eyes sort of glowed in the dark. She was hunched over near his shelves. We both freaked out and ran outside. And this was in the middle of the day. Whoever it was wasn't there when we went back in. Why did you go back in? Ever. Burn it down, man.
You're obviously not the smartest.
No. We grabbed the statue and apologized again, wrapped it in a pillowcase, and put it in a box. He's just going to send it to you.
And then they continued to say, to answer your questions, I didn't see any jewelry or pictures or anything by the statue, but there were a lot of leaves covering everything. There was some broken glass and a cup near the fire. My friend says he thinks there might have been some hair on it, but he brushed it off without thinking about it. We don't remember any weird symbols or anything in the cave. There were a lot of twigs piled around the foot of the statue, but that's it.
Everyone has always talked about how people go into those parts of the woods to worship the devil and do ceremonies and stuff, even when my parents were kids. The woods not far from where we were are even called, what is it? Omitted?
Yeah, so we can't put it because it revealed the...
Oh, the location?
Yeah.
Okay. We're even called, well, we can't say it because it would reveal this person's location and they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But this area even had a scary nickname, basically. Mm-hmm. I told him to leave the statue there because it was probably from some weird ceremony out there, but he never believed in ghosts or the devil or anything.
So right now it's sitting in the trunk of his car at his house. Give me your address and we'll mail it to you tomorrow. If I knew it was going to be this bad, I never would have let him take it out of that cave. Thanks for not calling us idiots and telling us how stupid we are like the rest of the Reddit thread. This is the whole reason I used a throwaway account to begin with. End quote.
Greg and Dana received a box containing the, should we call it the crone? Okay. I don't know. We haven't talked about that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. Greg and Dana received a box containing the crone less than a week later. They carefully cut the package open to reveal a hard lump wrapped in a stained pillowcase. As they slowly peeled back the cloth, rusty nails hammered into the wooden eyes became visible, followed by a noose tightening around the statue's neck. It was obvious the piece was not positive.
And the figure looked menacing, but there were a few things they said were confusing about the piece itself. The most obvious detail was that while the carving itself looked a bit weathered and aged, as did the nails. The rope wrapped around its neck couldn't have been more than a year old. The carving had obviously been placed in the cave recently with the new addition of the noose, if the entire thing wasn't just a hoax to begin with.
As Dana and Greg do with all the new items that arrive at the museum, they snapped a series of preliminary photos capturing the artifact just as it was when it arrived. They jot down some notes and take a few measurements. Then they locked the office and left to run errands.
And they said that when you've been sent countless quote-unquote haunted objects throughout the years, it's hard to shake the preconceived notion that the creepy porcelain clowns, weird paintings, and African idols won't really ever live up to your alleged expectations or reputations, as they rarely do. So for them, the arrival of the Crone of the Catskills was just another day at the office.
Later that evening, while sitting in the living room watching a movie, Dana and Greg... Our bodies. Happens every time. Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, maybe not. Maybe. Okay. I'm sorry. Later that evening, while sitting in the living room watching a movie, Dana and Greg were startled by a commotion in the office. Thinking it was their two cats, which likely suspects, Greg volunteered to break up the fight, only to realize upon walking into the office that the door had been closed the entire time. Nothing seemed out of place, and the cats were not even in the room. In fact, their cats were like totally not close to that room. I already said that. This is what I get for not reading ahead. Nothing seemed out of place, and the cats were nowhere to be found. In fact, their cats were in another room entirely, cowering beneath the bed, afraid to leave. Poor babies!
I know.
This makes me even more sad than the scared dog, because I have a cat, and he hides beneath beds and couches when he's afraid, and I love him.
So Greg ended up walking back into the office in an attempt to look for the source of the noises, but everything seemed in order until he almost stepped on Jesus.
What? Lying on the floor was a plastic figurine of Christ, normally found nailed to a crucifix. What? As Greg turned him over in his hands, he realized that Jesus was missing an arm. Somehow this is so funny. I'm sorry.
I imagine Jesus. It wasn't funny then.
I'm sure not. No. On the complete opposite side of the room, swinging silently on a cross, hung in the corner was Jesus's missing appendage. Something had not only managed to pull out the nails from Christ's feet and left hand and then pull Christ from the crucifix without removing it from the wall, but it had thrown the figure across the room. Sitting directly below the now desecrated cross was the Crone. Greg was never able to find the nails from Jesus's hands and feet, which is, that's a lot.
I know. I'm scared. Okay. Dana and Greg wasted no time setting up a 24-hour surveillance on the object, whether or not the new artifact was actually to blame. They placed a motion-activated trail camera in the corner of the office facing directly in the direction that the desecrated crucifix hung, covering a selection of the most active artifacts in their collection. If something was causing anomalous movement, they were going to capture it.
For nearly 2 months, the motion-activated camera sat in the room, but when Dana and Greg checked the SD card each morning, there was no evidence of paranormal activity. Greg and Dana said, sure, there were occasional bumps in the night, but when you store hundreds of haunted, cursed, and supernaturally influenced objects in your home, you come to expect it. Still, there was nothing to point toward the Crone being to blame for any of that stuff.
Then on March 2nd, between the hours of 3 a.m. and 4 a.m., and of course it's the witching hour, of course, the camera was triggered, of course, three times.
Initial analysis showed a few strange anomalies floating in and out of the frame, one which even appeared to have its own light source. But it wasn't until Dana and Greg stitched the frames together that they discovered something really eerie. The Crone had moved ever so slightly on its own.
And things only got stranger from there. Several weeks later, with no further anomalous activity captured, Dana called Greg into the living room to ask him why he'd stood on the furniture after a shower, pointing to the wet footprints that appeared to stand on the back of their couch. Only he'd not taken a shower for hours, and much less, he hadn't stood on the couch.
Just like, why would you do that? Apparently, for days after that, the earthy scent of pond water lingered in the house, along with the intense feeling of dread and paranoia. Oh my gosh, the cats must have been traumatized.
Yeah.
Dana and Greg said there was an undeniable sense that something was with them, just waiting for the right moment to reveal itself.
One evening, after enduring this overbearing weight of a hidden presence and the stink of algae and pond scum for 2 weeks, they'd had enough. They're in the middle of a new episode of Paranormal Lockdown when the smell of pond water became so great they literally could not stand it.
That's crazy. Greg and Dana say that haunted objects like misbehaving children tend to respond and retaliate to the attention given to them during tantrums, but their usual routine of ignoring the bad behavior wasn't working. They were past due for a sit-down discussion with the crone. They said, "No one interrupts our paranormal television, not even terrifying entities."
That's funny.
I like these two. They're great.
So Greg ends up storming into the office, grabs the carving, and he marches back to the living room, slamming it down on the coffee table. He sat back down on the couch and began addressing the entity directly, something that should never be done lightly. He explained they were happy to give the crone a home, but as this was their house, they had rules. It was a speech he'd given to most of the objects in the museum at one time or another, and one that typically tended to work.
Okay, this is so funny to me. Like, out of context, yeah. You just, like,
addressing an inanimate
see
object.
This man, you just, you know, you're just walking in your neighborhood, and you kind of look over, and in the window of a house, there's a man, and he's, you know, pointing his finger and, like, yelling at this object, and you're just kind of like, are they sure? Okay? Should I call someone? Do you need help? All right. Quote, "If we'd left you with the hikers," Greg said, "you would have found your way into a fire pit or a garbage can. If you found your way to a priest, you'd be bound and buried, or worse, locked on a dusty shelf for years. We're happy for you to live here, but only if you respect the situation. If you've got unfinished business, we'll help you put it to bed. But if you don't treat us respectfully, you're going in the box."
So in the box is a phrase they've reserved for artifacts that don't play nice, have nasty side effects, or are just plain malevolent. These objects, unlike the rest in the collection, have their own dedicated lockboxes, solitary confinement kind of. Usually the threat of a lockup is enough to pacify a situation, but not this time.
It's just so funny that we're talking about an object, yeah. Especially to me as, like, someone who is skeptical. All I can think about is, like, the funny aspects of this.
Yeah.
Which is why we're a good pair, because you're over there, like, creeped out, and I'm like, Ara, it's funny, laugh. As soon as Greg had uttered that, Dana sprang up from the couch, drawing his attention to the sound of rushing water from the other side of the house. They dealt with a broken pipe in the recent past, and the sound of water spilling onto their laundry room floor was a panic-inducing noise. They rushed towards the sound, only for it to cease as they entered the hallway. There was no water, but behind them, back in the living room, they could hear the dull thud of something hitting the floor. The crone had managed to roll off the coffee table and under their television stand.
As Greg knelt down and reached under the stand to grab the carving, Dana yelled out in terror and rushed to his side. When he turned to look at her, she was propping the television up with both hands. The screen had nearly fallen directly onto his head. As they shared a brief look of fear and agreement, three loud knocks reverberated from the living room wall, rattling the picture frames and flickering the bulb from the single lamp providing their room with light.
"In the box it is," Greg had muttered. Oh, that's still me. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
Not paying attention to my own script right in front of me. That evening, the crone became one of the few objects not stored in an open-air display when not on tour. They prepared a special box for the statue, wrapped it back in the pillowcase it had arrived in, and clicked a padlock shut. The strange scents and terrible feelings all but disappeared, but the shadowy presence never quite left.
And the purpose of the Traveling Museum of the Paranormal and Occult had always been to provide the public with rare, hands-on experience with haunted items that they really couldn't get anywhere else in the world. But it was clear that the crone was going to be different. Still, Greg and Dana believe that the reality of these artifacts is important to share with the world, even if they're potentially dangerous. So despite their reservations, they began to take the crone on tour with the museum under the caveat that it was strictly a look-don't-touch artifact.
Immediately, people began to experience strange symptoms around the object, the most common of which were burning sensations in the eyes, as if the statue was trying to avert the gaze of curious onlookers. Overwhelming fear and anxiety accompanied the opening of the crone's padlocked home, and the hands-off policy barely mattered, as visitors seemed to instinctively recoil from the artifact.
Psychics and sensitives in particular had the most visceral reaction to the crone. Some believe it was created as a vessel for inhuman spirits. Some believe it was a curse intended to blind and kill an unlucky victim. Acclaimed psychic Chip Coffey wanted to straight up exorcise a figure with holy water blessed by the Pope himself.
April Slaughter, a gifted, sensitive, and medium, was kind enough to spend some time reading the crone for Greg and Dana at the 20th annual Haunted America Conference in Alton, Illinois, and presented them with a few interesting ideas. She believed that whatever is attached to the crone is an it, not a she, and that this particular vessel and cave was used several times over the course of many years. The purpose wasn't always the same, but the carving and entity attached to it was. This would explain the mismatched age of the carving nails and the rope. April also mentioned that whatever was contained within the crone knew she could see it and explained its purpose, and the entity wasn't happy about it.
As the museum traveled to events around the country, from Ohio State Reformatory to Colorado's Stanley Hotel, thousands of people weighed in on the crone. Many of them experienced the musty smell of stagnant water, felt the creeping onset of the entity's presence, and a few even captured photographs of the artifacts appearing to move on its own.
While the opinions of the crone's who and why weren't always the same, there was one thing everyone agreed upon. Whatever was attached to this crude, hand-carved statue was not very nice.
And nearly 6 months after the crone had arrived, it remained on a very short, no-touching list when on tour, and sealed in padlocked case when not on display. If not just because of the apparently malevolent phenomena surrounding the object, but because Greg and Dana still couldn't seem to understand its intended purpose.
With the paranormal, intention is everything. Greg stresses this time and time again. If you go into a haunted location intending to have a scary, aggressive experience, you'll probably have one. If you intend to commune with the peaceful spirits residing in the location, you'll more than likely have a peaceful experience. The same goes for magic. With just a cursory glance, it's easy to see that someone focused a lot of time, energy, and intent into the creation of the crone. It was carved by hand, probably with a very specific purpose in mind. Every rusty nail received a mental command as it was hammered into the figure's wooden eye sockets. The noose around its neck was tied with a hidden desire in mind.
Greg's own personal belief was that the crone was actually created as an attempt to summon the spirit of a local witch for purposes that are unknown. The location of its discovery, coupled with the specifics of the carving's creation, led him to believe that someone was aiming to commune with and contain a particular spirit. Dana, on the other hand, believes that the figure was created as a sort of protection object used to ward a sacred ritual area.
Some good that did.
Yeah.
This didn't work out.
Oh, hold on. All right.
Greg and Dana's good friend, psychic Chip Coffey, isn't sure why it was carved. Only the Babylonian spirit Marduk, a powerful entity with 50 names, is attached to it. Interesting to note that Marduk is often associated with water.
Greg has reached out to Danny several times in the last 5 months to no avail. Greg reached out to Danny several times in the 5 months since he received the object, but it was to no avail. It doesn't help that Danny used that throwaway social media account to seek help, and it seemed that Danny had completely abandoned it. By proxy, he'd abandoned any solid connection to the place the carving had been discovered at.
Greg and Dana had been able to narrow the potential discovery point to a 500-plus acre piece of land in the Catskill Mountains and formulated a plan to seek out the cave themselves later in the year. The specific plot of land already has connections to early witchcraft trials in the Northeast, which might provide some missing pieces to the puzzle.
In June of 2016, while under a monitored 24/7 live video feed, the crone was observed by as many as 100 viewers at a time. Electromagnetic fluctuations, light anomalies, and feelings of general unease were reported by observers, but the most frightening reports came from viewers who experienced strange activity manifesting in their own homes as they logged into the video feed. Power outages, electronic equipment failures, and burning eyes all seemed to announce the arrival of the familiar, earthy, pond-like scent, and in one case, a visit from the crone herself.
In the final days of the carving's surveillance, Greg and Dana asked the viewers for experiment ideas and landed on using a voodoo coffin nail, holy water, and a crucifix as trigger objects. On her last night under 24/7 watch, the crone appeared to flick the nail away.
In July of 2016, a month after this, Greg woke to a chilling message that was sent to the Traveling Museum of the Paranormal and Occult Facebook page. The message was from a Jackie J, a regular in the museum's live video feed chat, and she was informing Greg that not only could she not view the paranormal research, lab's live feed when the crone or the idol of nightmares were on display, but that an entity had come to her in her sleep to deliver a message.
Jackie said, quote, "Okay, I won't be viewing Billy, the Idol of Nightmares, or the Crone anytime soon on the live feed. I have stayed up and watched your live events and your items being streamed for the past month. I'm a former massage therapist with training in Reiki. Once I started my training was when I really started seeing and feeling the paranormal."
Well, after last night's live feed, I stayed up to wish Billy hello. About 4:40-ish this morning, I woke up to the weight of someone sitting on my back. I figured it was our 2-year-old daughter. That's how heavy this was. When I moved, I actually felt each leg-like limb extend and slide off of me. My whole body was flush with heat and broke out into immediate goosebumps and sweat. A few moments later, there was a loud bang, followed by my two dogs running to the living room from their beds in our laundry room.
But the worst part of this is, prior to waking up, I was dreaming that a woman was whispering in my ear that Greg had swallowed the missing crucifix nails, that she dropped them in his mouth while he was sleeping. That's why I wrote to you guys. I'm taking everything with a grain of salt, as I know you will. Just wanted to share why I'm not going back to sleep tonight. For my daughter's sake, I have to be a bit cautious. I have brought home strays before, unknowingly.
As soon as Greg had read this message, this cold chill ran down his spine. Just days after the crone had arrived at their headquarters and started dropping televisions and desecrating the crucifix, Greg had come down with some severe stabbing stomach pains, which lasted about a week. The piercing pain was enough to make him consider a hospital visit, but he never once considered connecting them to the crone's arrival, not until then.
"I have learned to ignore and listen to spirits as needed," Jackie wrote, "but that one was so specific, I wanted to tell you. She's very proud of that."
So did the entity attached to the crone really drop the missing crucifix nails into his mouth as he slept, causing the severe stomach pain he had? We'll leave that for you guys to decide.
As of recent, in October 2018, the Traveling Museum of the Paranormal and Occult trekked back up to the Catskills to return the crone to its original location in the cave. They also completed a coordinated ritual with hundreds of witches from around the world to release and cast the object.
So hopefully the crone is now resting and back where it belongs, but it's so freaking scary, and I was so scared to do this because I don't want her to show up.
She's not going to show up. But
don't say that, Caroline. Why would you tempt it? Stop it.
I'm not tempting it. She can't hear us.
Okay, but I don't know. I'm curious because, you know, they previously hadn't been able to get in touch with Danny, so I'm wondering, were they able to get in touch with him and that's how they found the specific area to take it to? Or did they just decide on a random cave in the Catskills?
I wonder if, well, I know he said it might have been that, like, he kind of gave some context clues in his original message because, mm-hmm. You know, he said that, like, his dad always said that area was, had like a weird nickname or whatever.
Yeah, that was redacted.
So it's possible that they could have just Googled that or called the local area and been like, "Hey, do you know of a place like this?" Or
that's true.
Something like that. I'm sure they had a way to do some research.
It's just like such a specific area.
Yeah. I wonder how long it took them to find the cave.
Yeah. Well, apparently, I think the item was given to them in either late 2015 or early 2016. So over 2 years, which is kind of insane, but props to them for doing their research.
I know, right? They're dedicated.
I don't know. The thing about the nails is terrifying
to me. That's really, really spooky.
Like, I don't know. The fact that this woman was told this and he had stomach pains. Like,
yeah.
It's common to have stomach pains, I'm sure. Or, like, just feel weird. But the fact that you remember them and almost went to the hospital.
Yeah. I almost wonder, too, if, like, she didn't really drop the nails. You know what I mean? But she did cause stomach pain.
Yeah.
And that's just her way of saying that she did it. You know what I mean? Like, that's her way of explaining it.
Yeah.
Because she's a ghostie. creature. Yeah. And
It's interesting. What do you think, if you believed in this, what do you think it would be? Do you think it's a witch? Do you think it's a Babylonian entity? Do you think it's a demon?
I definitely don't think it's a witch because, you know, they said that, like, the area was connected to witchcraft trials. And as we know from our Salem episode, the people killed in witchcraft trials were not witches. They were, like, Christian people who were not – they didn't fit in. So I definitely don't think it's a witch. And I don't think it's, like, the ghost of one of those victims either because I just don't think that they would haunt random people like that.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
I think this because of the fact that the psychic said it's an it and not a she, it's making me think it's some type of, like, non-corporeal or, like, non-human entity.
Yeah.
And the Babylonian thing was really interesting to me.
That it's associated with water.
Yeah. But I also can't – I don't know because – there's always this tendency to automatically assume it's some type of exotic, quote-unquote exotic entity that comes from, like, some past society or civilization.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And then in some way, like, equate that to something demonic. So but I'm hesitant to say that. But there's definitely, like, some bad energy there. It's interesting to me that she chose to attack the crucifix. Or it chose to attack the crucifix, but then later, with the trigger items, it didn't like the voodoo coffin nail.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what that implies the second time.
Yeah.
Then again, the nail was the only one that was, like, leaning against it. Yeah. So the other two were just near it. So I don't
know if
that plays
anything. Another thing of interest, too, is that it has the nails in its eyes.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's connected, because on both of those occasions, it's a nail, right?
Yeah.
Like, the crucifix has the nails.
And that's true.
So maybe
the
crucifix had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Like, it just happened to be an object that had very visible nails.
I wonder if the entity itself wanted the nails out of its eyes.
Yeah.
And that's why.
I wonder maybe if it was just, it could just be
I wonder if the nails were iron. So it was hurting the entity. You know, iron's bad for the entity.
I didn't know that.
I mean, I don't feel bad for the entity because it was really freaking scary.
Yeah.
But,
what if it's like, it's just a ghost that was conjured and they, like, then somebody did something bad. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they warped it or something.
Yeah, or, like, trapped it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, trapped it and now it's attached to this object.
So you're saying there's a ghost attached to an already bad object?
No, like I'm saying,
object or,
like,
the ghost itself?
I wonder if maybe it's just some sort of spirit, like forest spirit or something like that, some sort of entity, right?
Yeah.
And it was somebody tried to, like, conjure that spirit and then, like, trap it, and the way that it was trapped was by using that object.
Yeah.
Like,
and
you,
the reason,
you know,
it's
and so
behaving
it's attached
malevolently.
To that object. It doesn't want to be attached to that object.
Yeah. And the reason it's behaving malevolently is because it's been trapped.
Yeah.
And it wants to escape.
And maybe when it was taken by Danny's friend, it recognized that these people were not really there to help it, you know?
Well, it didn't react well with Dana or Greg either.
But it kept doing the nail thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, you know that in Danny's friend's house, there were nails in the house, right?
But it tried to kill Greg.
It did try to kill him.
So, like, does it actually want help?
Does
I don't
it want
think
help?
It wants help.
Is it just mad? Does it? I wonder maybe, too, if, like,
it wants help.
If maybe at first it thought that Greg and Dana were going to help, and then really they just, like, put it on display.
Yeah.
And because they didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And.
But they asked it if it had unresolved business.
Yeah.
And maybe, and even with all the psychics and stuff.
So you'd think somebody would pick that up?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, with all the psychics seeing it, why did the random lady who was on their live feed.
Yeah. Why her?
Figure out the nail thing. Unless it just. I don't know. I definitely think it has something to do with the eyes because the eyes burn every time you look at it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's because it doesn't want to be looked at. I think it's because it's mimicking the nails in its eyes.
It's saying, hello, I'm in pain.
So I'm wondering if the nails in its eyes are somehow restraining it, if it would have been stronger without the iron nails in its eyes or what.
I was thinking maybe, again, maybe it is the whole theory, like I said, like it's trapped. Mm-hmm. That the nail, like it's been attached to this entity.
I definitely think it's been trapped there.
And the nails have attached it. And so if you were to move the nails, then it would be stronger.
Yeah.
But it was like an evil entity. That's why it was trapped there. What happened?
The cat just moved off of the chair, but the rocker started rocking by itself.
No.
And I was like,
not Phoebe. Was it Phoebe or Mouse?
I think it was Phoebe. Let me go check and make sure it was the cat.
Yes. Ara has family staying with her, and they brought their cat with them. Yes. And so now she has two cats at her house.
And a dog.
And they're very sweet.
And a cousin, and an aunt and uncle.
Yes, lots of family.
But yeah, I definitely think there's something to do with the eyes, something to do with power. And then in addition, I don't think the entity is good, personally.
No.
I think it would only get worse
if they took the nails out.
And I wonder if the reason... Oh, hi, Phoebe. Oh, she's sleepy. She actually looks like she's about to throw up. Please don't throw up. Okay, I think she's okay. Okay. Boots with the fur, with the fur. The whole club was looking at her. Yeah, I definitely think it's bad. I think it would have been stronger otherwise.
Yeah.
I do wonder, I wonder if in some way Danny's friend was compelled to take it out of the cave. Mm-hmm. But then I wonder why Danny wasn't in any way compelled. I think it's funny that Danny's the one who believes and is on paranormal forums.
Maybe that's why, though. You know what I mean? Because he would have been like, don't touch that.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Whereas the other is just like, oh, I'm going to take this weird tchotchke I found in this spooky cave. I don't know. I don't ever find things and I'm like, I'm tempted to take this.
Yeah, I know. Maybe like a rock or flower or... Not a creepy object with a noose around its neck and nails in its eyes. Neither of those things would ever
That's make me want the other it. Thing. The thing that is interesting to me is the noose was fresh.
Yeah.
So someone is actively working with this object. Mm-hmm. Was actively working with the object.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what were they? I can only imagine that the object was used to kind of disturb or bother their enemies or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was used to protect the site, I don't think it did that good a job because the hikers came across it and so then it just took it away.
Yeah.
So,
and you wouldn't go, I mean, if it's to protect, I don't think you'd even be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Unless the whole point is protect it by having you take the item and then you get so freaked out you just return it.
But
then they didn't want to go back to the cave.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just weird.
Know. It's just not, I don't like that idea. I think one thing too I wonder is if maybe the reason that there's different things have happened at different times to it. I wonder if like the first person who had it, they had this entity like haunting them. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they are like, okay, well, I'm going to trap this entity. And so they trap this entity in the figure mm-hmm. and, you know, they do the nails in the eyes. That's how it's like attached. Right. Mm-hmm. So they do that. And then it is found at some point by somebody else. And so then they are, you know, dealing with all these problems. They don't know what to do. And then somebody tells them, you know, take it out to the woods and do this thing with the rope and whatever. You know what I mean?
Okay. So maybe like it was like binding.
It was like two separate rituals maybe. Mm-hmm. And both of them were to bind it. But one of them, maybe the last one, was very dependent on it staying in that cave.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know.
Mm. It's just like... It's kind of a confusing situation overall because mm-hmm. as a believer skeptic, personally, this scared the heck out of me. I hate it when it's like it follows you home or whatever.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But yeah, it's just the combination of, I don't know, like the things it would manifest is so interesting to mm-hmm. me. And when it did manifest, it did look like this hunched crone.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't know if it's more because of the fact that that's how it wanted to appear or what have you, but
yeah,
not my favorite thing to see while hiking. I'll tell you that.
No, no. If I went out hiking, I would be like, it's time to go home and like, not touch anything. And yeah.
Alrighty.
You know how when you're a little kid and
time to leave.
You go into a store with your mom and like the store is just full of like ceramic and crystal and like all kinds of breakable things. Do and your mom touch. Is like, don't touch anything.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the attitude you should have when you find creepy stuff. Yeah. Just don't touch it.
Well, literally for
I said that as a true skeptic, that yeah. I'm the person who's like, yeah.
It's like, regardless, don't touch it.
I have self-preservation, yeah. So.
I mean, like, sometimes, like, witches will use stuff, like, they will put acid on things. They will put, you know, itching powder on things. They mm-hmm. will put, you know, rusty knives, blood, urine, feces on things.
Any number of things you don't want to touch.
Even if it's not paranormal or supernatural in any way, it can still be bad.
Yeah.
It can still affect you. Yeah. So just be like a tiny child in a fragile porcelain store and don't touch anything. So that is the story of the Crone of Catskills, what I've been scared to do for the past 2-3 years. I hope that you guys enjoyed it, and I hope nothing happens.
I was expecting a much more like folklore-y type story, you know, like some like really old mythology or something.
No.
This I did not realize it was like a more traditional ghost story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
No, so, yeah, I had fun with that one. I like that one.
It could be its own movie.
Yeah, it really... Both of our episodes today could be
really
movies.
Could
dramatically different movies.
Yeah.
With dramatically different villains.
Literally. Somehow the Nazis are still worse.
Oh yeah. Definitely. Oh yeah. 100% sure. I mean, there's only one of her. There's lots of Nazis.
Yeah. We should unleash her on the Nazis.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what
yes.
it should be.
Oh my gosh. Just like slip her into Marjorie Taylor Greene's purse. just slide her in there, because you know Marjorie Taylor Greene would be like, I want to poke it, I want to touch it.
She'd be like, what is this interesting figurine? And then
no, she would immediately know it was like something bad, but she would, like,
this is of Satan,
this is a demon. Someone put this in my bag. Boycott Target.
Literally. And your children is buying this from Target. This is what they get when they buy an inflatable pool toy.
Oh, Marjorie.
Don't drink Bud Light. It's all the above. Okay. With
sometimes.
That, we will conclude. Oh, let me reset. With that, we will conclude. As per usual, you can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. We'd love if you'd give us a 5-star on Spotify, as well as Apple Podcasts, iTunes.
We are on all the social medias. On most of them, we are Wicked Weird and Grim, our name. Mm-hmm. But on Twitter, we are Wicked Weird Grim. And we mostly post on Facebook and Instagram, so check us out there. Mm-hmm.
We also have a Patreon, and we'd love if you subscribe there to help us keep the podcast going. And Anchor has recently transferred over to Spotify for podcasters or something. So you can still, I think, vote and answer questions and that kind of thing. It's just switched names. So I guess with that, we will sign off.
That's everything.
And we will – no. You will hear us next Wicked Weird Wednesday with the Grimm Sisters. Bye, guys. I hope the crone doesn't haunt you. Scared.
So scary.
I really am scared, though. I really have to pee. It's really bad.